The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown episode 192. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
And Adam Vale.
What's up, people?
All right, no Brian action. He's getting prepared for Trump. He's visiting his country tomorrow, so I think he's getting all hyped up for that. And Manny, he's lost in Philadelphia, I think. I don't know. I'm making shit up. He said he was in the city today, so he's going back home. He's on his way home, so he may show up later. Funny thing is, I was in the city too, and he didn't tell me. But then maybe I should have told him. I don't know. I don't keep track of this man, you know?
Manny is elusive.
Yeah, he really is. Actually, since I still need to pull up my show notes, I'll quickly tell you guys, since I'm not under embargo, I went to the city to play Kingdom Hearts 3. Pretty interesting. I've never played these games, so, but even though I've never played them, I instinctively knew how to play them. The PR guy said it's because a lot of games have ripped off Kingdom Hearts, so I don't know, take that how you will, but yeah, I mean, it seems to me if you like those games, you're probably going to like this too, you know? It was pretty interesting seeing the Disney characters and these Square Enix type of characters melding together and stuff, you know? I just missed the boat on that. I was never really interested back when it originally came out, you know? Anybody in here play those games?
I played the 3DS version, and that was it. Not a fan of it.
Yeah, aren't those the doo-doo ones, the 3DS ones?
Probably. But that was just, I don't know, something about the whole RPG element with Disney characters just didn't click with me.
Yeah. I don't know. It never interested me because I was never really like a big Disney fan like that back in the day, you know? Obviously, I'm a Disney fan now, you know, because they keep gobbling up everything I love. It's crazy, man. You know, but anyway, so this is just one of those weird weeks. Not like a lot happened, but nothing was big. So we're just going to run through some of this shit, you know. Some little things happen, but, you know, it's summer. What can you do, man? Hey, there we go. What's going on, Kristen? Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about here is the NPD group they made some predictions about the rest of 2018. And their big one that they're predicting is that Switch is going to be the highest selling console of the year. I guess they're taking a book from Michael Pachter's page. It's like, yeah, the most obvious shit, predict that, right? Of course, Switch is going to outsell. Think about it. PlayStation 4 and Xbox are on the decline. Switch is on the come up. Pretty obvious. But anyway, what do you guys think about that prediction?
Yeah, it was like super obvious. It's like the second year of a game, and it's doing well right now, and it's going to do even better later on during the year because most of the games that the Switch has been slated for are coming out second half of 2018. So yeah, it seems kind of obvious. I mean, why don't you just predict how many like how many numbers, like that's more of a bold prediction than just saying Switch is going to be number one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on, you got to give out some numbers, you know?
But like, you're going to predict, man, you got to, I mean, be bold.
Yeah, Pachter, he does that shit. He's wrong sometimes, but at least he does it. Like, it's going to sell this many.
Yeah. Why can't I have his job?
Yeah, well, you should. I know, right? You've been more right than him. I was about to say righter than him. You've been more right than him.
Yeah, and I go bold, too. I go crazy.
You know? Another thing, and I'm reading Matt Piscatella's stuff. He goes, immersive gaming VR will continue to struggle. Brad, I'm throwing that one to you. What do you make of that?
I'm sorry. Turn away for half a fucking second. I direct a question at me.
Yes. Repeat that shit. I said one of the other predictions is that immersive gaming VR will continue to struggle for the rest of the year. What do you make of that?
I think that's fair. I think it's going to continue to quote unquote struggle.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Spread. You know, I mean,
dude, does speaking VR of struggling, have any right. games? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, yo, they don't have any library. I haven't seen anything come out. Like, okay, the one weird thing that I would look at, but I'm not buying VR for, is that From Software game, that weird looking thing. That's on VR, right?
Oh, but then yeah, that's not right.
gonna make me buy it. Yeah. That's just like, what is that? I would like to see it, but I can just look at a demo or something. Yeah, so I don't know.
Am I back?
They don't have enough support.
All right.
Oh, there you are, man.
Oh, okay. I have no idea. I didn't go anywhere. I just all of a sudden you couldn't hear me. I don't think VR is gonna get much better until we see a leap in hardware. Like I've said before, I think we've seen the market show interest in it, and now they're trying to figure out how to make it fully accessible for everybody. It's but like PSVR, like it's kind of shit, right? Like all VR is kind of shit right now. It's still in its infancy, but I think that you've seen enough market response to see more investment into it, and so we'll see a second version of it soon. It's going to be a lot more viable. Weirdly enough, like the versions that are out right now weren't necessarily supposed to be like the end goal, but I think it's kind of they've realized that they have more work cut out for them than they need to, so they won't be able to roll directly into version 2.0. They kind of need to go back to R&D for a little bit.
Yeah, Hussein says he loves his VR, but he doesn't play it often. He only plays it when there's a new game that he's interested in. Interesting. Okay, I'm reading some of these other predictions. Some of these are crazy. This one's from, and I'm going to butcher this man's name, Juiced Van Drunen. He says that this year Amazon is going to buy GameStop. That's kind of bold.
Why would
they talk to Target?
They're the biggest retailer in the world, and they're going to buy a dying retailer.
So this is what he says. He goes, with console hardware starting to slow and VR unlikely to replace gaming as a product category in the short term, the specialty retailer will be forced to reduce its footprint. The 6,100 retail outlets worldwide will play an important part in Amazon's ability to deliver gaming and consumer electronics worldwide. Interesting.
I think now that... Go ahead.
They're just going to focus on Target because that's been the big talk right now, that they are thinking about getting into big box, but they're thinking about Target. And then, yeah, they can do the whole game thing right there in Target. They don't need to just buy a bunch of GameStops. They can have the games all there in Target.
Go ahead, Brett.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, like, Amazon is the thing killing most big box retailers. So there's not really, like, they can undercut them. They can provide better service. They can go shipment directly to door. There's a reason that any business that comes out, if you're trying to open any kind of retail business, one of the first things that people are going to ask you is, how is this going to separate you from, you know, giants like Amazon? So Amazon has become the big fucking boogie monster that everybody has to ask about. So it's not like GameStop is even competing with them. Amazon is putting them out of business. So yeah, as Adam said, like if they're going to do anything, if they're going to enter big box retail, they're going to do it with a much larger chain. I don't know why they would do it with GameStop, especially when GameStop is – they just strangle GameStop out of the market.
Yeah, and GameStop's already dying, so that could be bad. Hold on. This guy's making some crazy-ass predictions. So his next one is Ubisoft sells off a minority share to a large Asian game company.
What?
Okay, let me read what my man has to say. Because consolidation continues to be the dominant trend in the European media landscape throughout 2018, Vivendi won't go away even if they've recently relented a bit on pursuing Ubisoft. The French publisher has other plans, however, and will sell off a piece to, one, ensure sustained creative freedom, and two, build on its recent successes. So he's trying to make it seem like they're going to sell off a piece of their company just so Vivendi doesn't come in and buy them out like they almost did, you know?
That's not a bad theory.
Yeah.
I mean, that's possible. Vivendi has been trying to do a hostile takeover on Ubisoft for years now, buying up stock and through other companies. So that might be a smart move just to keep their hands off them, you know?
Yeah.
What was it? Ubisoft won that, though. They got all the majority now.
They did, yeah, but they're still in danger of it happening again, you know?
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so, Adam, what Vivendi's trying to do is through holding companies buy up shares of Ubisoft, right? Mm-hmm. And then consolidate all of them and go, oh, we're the majority stakeholder. Now you're going to sell out to us or we're going to, like, crash your market, right? So that's what they're trying to prevent.
Yeah. All right, let me read this next one. Okay, see, I like this guy's predictions. You know, Matt Pizzatella, I like that dude, but a little safe there. I like this guy's stuff. Even though this one, I'm going to read this. He goes, esports has its do or die moment. After a solid 18 months of hype and easy money from investors or investments, several stakeholders are on the hook to deliver. Activision's success with its Overwatch League will be regarded as a bellwether for the entire industry, even if that doesn't make a lot of sense because CSGO and other titles are more organically grown than deliberately produced like Overwatch. With the eyes of the world on it, competitive gaming will be sluggish out of the gate as a reconciliation sweeps the category. I've been throwing cold water on expectations for a while now. Recovery follows after uninformed investors exit the space and allow esports to grow on its own strength, building a great user-focused experience, creating value for advertising platforms. He's obviously talking about how Overwatch League is now on ESPN and shit like that. Mm-hmm. We'll see if you know, esports, yeah, this could be its do-or-die moment. I don't think esports is going to go anywhere, but I think this is going to be the year where maybe we see if, like, this thing's going to be viable for, like, a mass audience, you know, because now it's on ESPN. This shit is serious right now, you know? Well,
don't put a fledgling... You're trying to expand esports, which is a new thing. Don't put it on a dying network.
ESPN is a good point. Yeah. Yeah, who's watching that shit anymore, you know? And ESPN, you know, I'm not going to get into it. You already know there's other reasons why ESPN is failing, you know?
Dude, that's such a bad match, too. Like, I think it's – I view this as, like, kind of the canary in the coal mine on two angles. One, ESPN is not doing well. Two, I don't really see this as a huge win for esports. And I don't think esports can really go much of anywhere. And that's due to the games for the most part. Like, yeah, you have Overwatch, but games have been kind of homogenizing a lot over the years, kind of dumbing down for the most part. So, and maybe that's good for arena-based esports. I don't see there being enough variance in, like, play styles or strategy to really make esports the thing that it once was in, like, the heyday of StarCraft.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is now esports is getting, you know, now esports in America is getting to that level that StarCraft was in Korea, you know? So you don't think that's going to happen?
Only with Overwatch, though.
With esports?
Like what's huge in the esports arena right now? Like, I don't know that we have enough games and different play styles within those games actually make it a big thing.
What about all those MOBA games? Yeah.
Yeah, the MOBA games, the Heroes of the Storm has a lot of tournaments. Dota has a lot of tournaments. League of Legends has fucking huge. Like, BlizzCon has all their shit there. What's it called?
I know they have a lot of fan engagement, but do they have a lot of, like, esports reception? Like, are there a lot of people watching these esports matches?
Oh, yeah. Evo is huge. Evo, I don't know. Yeah. Evo is, like, probably the biggest fighting game.
I thought it lost momentum in the last couple of years.
It's gained momentum.
It's getting bigger. Yeah,
it's getting bigger. Yeah,
I mean, okay. they have Smash Brothers in that in fucking Evo, man.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was okay. Whatever. Yeah, I guess that's one of those kids these days kind of situations. Like, get it.
And honestly, I think esports is what's keeping fucking Street Fighter alive.
Oh, that's without a doubt. That is without a doubt. And they even Street Fighter, they tailored that shit for esports, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't you know, really satisfy the general audiences, but for esports, those motherfuckers eating that game up. That's always the premier game. As a matter of fact, they showed that one off on ESPN too. The finals and shit for Street Fighter, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, no, yeah, yes. The Evo is getting bigger all the time. In general, esports is getting bigger all the time, but, you know, can it sustain past this year? I think it can, but maybe not as big as, like, you know, some people have predicted, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And you have, like, Call of Duty has its esports shit, too. Like
Halo, you know?
We already talked about CSGO and StarCraft and stuff like that. Yeah, Halo has its shit, too. Yeah, so there's definitely a huge, like, chunk of games that has this, like, really big audience of
what the quality. Fuck. Okay, Hussein says that Fortnite has an $8 million prize. Damn,
8 million.
Oh, what, yeah, we forgot about Fortnite. Fuck. Fortnite is huge.
The Fortnite Pro Bowl. God, okay, the Fortnite Pro Bowl had more views than the whole of E3. God damn.
Oh, my baby.
Yeah, right? This is crazy, man. So we'll see about that. Let me see one of these other predictions. Big publishers become better at digital retail. Where previously game companies had relied on retailers to complete the final transaction, the growing success of digital sales has incentivized especially big firms to become better at this part of the process themselves. Specifically, to continue to drive their margins up, game companies will invest in staff and technology that will help activities traditionally handled by retailers including price differentiation, inventory management, and in-app purchase optimization. That goes with the whole thing of like people saying, oh, in like 2 or 3 years, all games are going to be digital. I still don't buy that shit, but that's what these guys are saying.
I could see, well, it's technically all games are digital, but I don't ever see it just leaving the physical market. There's always going to be some physical, just like there is music. There's a music store across the street from my job selling CDs. So, I mean, it's still going to be there, but it might be just like the way it is for vinyl. You know, it's very niche. It's like, oh, wow, you know, you're going to get that record? Yeah, I'm going to get that record. I got a record player.
But the difference is the quality in the vinyl is different than the digital.
Yeah. Oh, man, but I could see. This is something I could see. This might be further down the road if they actually do go the route of all digital. But I could see all digital versions. So two different SKUs. We'll see a version of a PS4 or Xbox with a disc tray and one without one. You know, and if you want that add-on for the disc tray, then you buy that separate if you want to go that route. But yeah, there'll be maybe two different SKUs because, I mean, there's a bunch of people, myself included, that are all digital.
Well, here's the thing for me. Why don't game companies just discount the games, like not selling them?
Because of the retail. They don't want to cut them.
Well, no. Yeah.
They do that right off the bat. Like PC games don't have to worry about it because they're not in retail anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all digital. Remember back in the day, it used to be a whole shelf. You know,
big but ass boxes and shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Big ass boxes and stuff. But now that's it. So because they were out of retail, they're like, fuck, we can do whatever we want. This shit's going on sale day uno. You know, but now they, if this whole thing happens, because remember that was a whole jump. I don't know if you remember from the 360 PS3 that when games did pop up, you know, on the PSN store, Xbox Live, the full games, it was always like a few months after the retail release. You know, it wasn't same day like it was with the current console. And that was a big jump because everyone was like, man, are they ever going to do same day? Are they ever going to do? And they did it. So then that sort of, once they did it though, they knew this was it. They were basically cutting that tie with retailers. They were basically saying, goodbye, GameStop. We're sorry, but we're going in our own direction. And look what's happening. So it all depends. It all depends also just on people's internet speeds and stuff, because that's the thing. I mean, for those that, like us, we all have pretty good internet. You know, we're privileged. There's a lot of areas that are still on dial-up or DSL, which is just a step up of dial-up. That's not good enough for anything.
Yo, man, satellite internet. Yeah, some people still using smoke. Yeah. Worst. Oh, man. Yeah, smoke signals, too. Either way, I'm looking at some of these analysts. One of them is our boy Michael Pachter. So let's see some of his predictions. The Xbox One X price cut is going to be price cut to $350 before the end of the year. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, damn.
Damn.
I agree with them.
You know?
I agree. Like, they're not moving hardware already. We talked about that with the annual, the fiscal year 2017. They can't move system. They're going to have to discount and probably do bundles. I'm surprised you mentioned that. Like,
yeah,
that's right.
Don't they have that bundle coming now with what you call it? What's that fucking game? Not Fortnite, the other one, Battlegrounds.
PUBG's losing its luster. Honestly, yeah. It has a lot of bad stigma around it. You know, the lawsuits and everything. So I think it'd be better if they bundled it with one of their first party titles and 3 months or more of Xbox Live would probably be a better deal for people.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, this one's a Captain Obvious prediction. From
Pachter?
Yeah, from Pachter. The rest of these from now on are just Pachter predictions. No new hardware from Sony, Nintendo, or Microsoft. Yeah, come on, dude. We know that.
Oh, really? Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Xbox is going to release a new controller.
You know, that is true. They just released a new one this week, actually. A dramatic price cut on PSVR. Okay. See that? He goes, Bethesda surprise. He goes, I'm never giving up on Elder Scrolls. Bethesda surprised us with games at E3 2017. I expect them to do so again at the next E3. That's next year, brother. This ain't 2018. Battle Royale mode in next year's Call of Duty. Pff, no shit.
Of what? Course.
Come on, son.
Come on, man. Let's be serious, man. This is
bullshit right really now.
Really going out on a limb, right?
Right? All right. He goes, Switch sales of under 20 million. He goes, I think rumors of 25 to 30 million units annually are crazy talk. Unless somehow Nintendo achieves success in China, my bias is no more than 50 million units sold in the West, with any upside to that figure in China.
Didn't PlayStation, the PS4 sell 20 million last year?
Yeah.
Very bold.
But that's not a rumor. Kimishima said that before he handed over the reins, that they were going to hit 37 million by the end of this fiscal year.
And what does Chris always say?
Oh, that's bullshit. No, he's lying. That motherfucker's lying. He's lying out the door. Come on, man.
Yo, Michael Pachter is my motherfucking dude, man. I just want to say that. But some of these predictions, like, come on, son. So he goes, no new big game announcements from Rockstar this year. No fucking shit.
Yeah, they already released.
They haven't released a new game since 2011.
Yeah, he goes, you're gonna get Red Dead 2, but you're not gonna get an announcement of anything like Midnight Club. Why would they do that? Come on, son.
Yeah, everything, all their eggs are in one basket this year, and this for Red Dead, and they haven't even said shit about Red Dead.
Yeah, that's right.
It's almost August.
All right, Chris, I need your input on this one. He goes, continued flops from Nintendo's mobile efforts. They don't seem to know how to build an in-game purchase into their core franchises, and I don't see them making much progress with Animal Crossing. Whatever is next is likely to underwhelm.
Yeah, I mean, Fire Emblem, they did Fire Emblem Mobile, and the Animal Crossing one, which I think is doing, like, marginally well. Now, granted, the ROI for mobile is huge, right? Even if you don't make that much money, like, the cost of development for them for mobile is way cheaper than their first-party stuff or anything else. So, to say that it's flops, like, I don't know, I don't know what he's comparing it to, because there's so much fucking shit released on mobile that it's all like mediocre or bad. So in that realm, they're fine, you know. And here's the thing, like Pokemon Go with its updates and the stuff with connecting to the new game on the Switch now has users coming back. They said they're doing 2 million plus a day off that game, off of in-game purchases.
Damn.
So he's got to slow down a little, because that game should have been like flopped and dead already, and now it's having an upsurge in users. So I don't know. I would say, like, yeah, I mean, he's looking at it through the lens like we look at it from console gaming. But in terms of mobile gaming, they're doing fine, because most of it is trash anyway. So how do you measure, like, their flop compared to what? Like Zynga, Candy Crush, like Clash of Clans or all that other bullshit. Like, they'll figure it out. Like, I really don't give a shit about their mobile stuff. And honestly, that prediction is like weird.
It also seems to me like it's another Captain Obvious thing. It's like, Nintendo's mobile efforts are not going to go anywhere, you know?
Yeah, no, they're fully dug in. This is just extra money for them. And like I said, it doesn't cost them that much to put this stuff out.
It really doesn't.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You can get one person to just develop games for you.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know. All right.
I mean, even if it's trash, they'll make money because it's branded.
Because then Nintendo's like, oh, Mario? You know,
yeah.
Like, all right, man.
Come on. All
right. Man, I wish Manny was here, because he's the one I wanted this story in here. But let's talk about it. This is interesting. So this journalist, I'm forgetting this motherfucker's name, Shane Satterfield, right? He's been in a bunch of sites. So this dude, he went to see Cyberpunk behind closed doors, right? He recorded the shit, you know, the audio, right? He uploads it, right? And obviously, you know what happens, like 5 minutes later, you know, CD Projekt Red's like, take that shit down. He takes it down. So this motherfucker's out there. Not only is he pissed that they took his shit down, but he's also like, why am I not getting credit for posting this? I'm a journalist. This is what I do. I'm like, motherfucker, like, do you not understand what behind closed doors means?
Yeah.
You know? So my thing is, like, you know, the whole, you know, him leaking the shit, that's already bad enough. But his attitude, man, that's the shit that's killing me, you know? That's it's like, come on, son, you clearly, you know, bro. And he's like, oh, I hope this doesn't, hurt my relationship with him. It is going to hurt the relationship with him, you dumbass.
Yeah, you heard of a blacklist, dude, man? You're probably on there, man.
You're done.
Yeah, it's like you do. You're not okay because he used to work for GameStop, Game Trailers. You don't work for those people anymore. You're just you now, basically. I know. I think he has like an independent company. They could easily just cut you off pulling that shit, you know. But again, I don't understand the arrogance of this guy. He's like, oh, why am I not getting credit for this, bro? Really?
Wow. What?
Really? Everybody that went in there, they kept their mouth shut. They didn't say nothing. But this guy, I guess he feels like, oh, no, I'm Shane Satterfield. Fuck that, you know? Bullshit.
All right. Well, he just got, like, a little dose of reality. I mean, he didn't come around, though. So you could he could keep going to events and keep doing that shit, thinking he's entitled to do whatever he wants. But eventually, when he don't, his company's going to fall apart big time if he keeps up that attitude.
Yeah. And my thing is, like, yo, this band's been around for, like, almost 2 decades doing this shit, and he doesn't learn. It's like, what? Come on, son. I've been doing this shit 6 years. I know better, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was insulated before, and now he's not.
Yeah, I think he forgot about that, didn't he? You know, because think about it, because let's say he did this with when he was working for Game Trailers. They're not going to cut off Game Trailers. The audience is too big. They're not going to cut off GameStop. They're not going to cut off G4. They'll cut his ass off, though.
Sure.
Look what happened to Jim Sterling, right? When he was at Destructoid, he said all this crazy shit. They let him get away with it. As soon as he went independent, EA was like, ha, fuck you. They don't send him games, you know? And he didn't even leak. They just didn't like him, you know?
He still goes in on them, but, you know, that's his choice. He knows what he's doing, though. Like, with his attitude, he knows what he's doing. This guy's just being entitled, man.
What
I do.
Yeah. And I was like, why am I not getting credit for it? Because you're being a dumbass, you know? Fuck yeah, it. Yeah, go ahead, man.
As dumb as the whole, like, closed door, like, we're only going to show this to the to fucking journalist thing was, I mean, it's kind of stupid that he would do that. It's like, these guys are giving you all the confidence in the world to present you something that they're not willing to present to the rest of the world, and you leak it. And like, not only do you, like, leak it, you leak it from your own account.
That's stealing. That's straight up stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what they hit him with, the copyright strike, rightfully. Yeah. And he's like, oh, they were in the wrong to do that to my video. Get the fuck out of here, bro.
Nope.
Yeah, don't you have to sign paperwork?
Yeah, you sign once you go in
there. NDAs, man.
Yeah, so they have a debt to rights. They could fucking pull his ass to court. Like, all right.
And I don't know if you mentioned it, but it was just audio, right?
Yeah, it was audio, yeah.
Not even... What's the, like, what do you get from that? Like, just releasing audio of a fucking demo of a game.
He's the guy that is reporting on it. He has the exclusive, you know? This guy's full of it, man.
No, he's desperate, man. He was desperate for that shit. He'll be the first one to, he thought he wouldn't, they wouldn't do anything, oddly. I don't know what world he's living in. Then he got caught.
Yeah, exactly. And now he's upset, you know? It's like, oh, they were wrong to do that. Oh, why aren't people giving me credit? No one's reporting on it but me. Why do you think no one's reporting on it? Because, oh, my fucking God, I swear. And he's fucking up for the rest of us. That's the way I see it, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh, anyway. Any last thoughts? I wish Manny was here because he got really heated about this, but he ain't here right now. What's going on, OBJ? You know? All right, so this one is interesting. So Neil Druckmann said that that fun is not a word that they use for The Last of Us 2. This caused some controversy on the internet. People were like, oh, you mean the game's boring then? How dare you say your game is boring? It's like, you people are really dumb, aren't you? What is fun about The Last of Us? That's all. You know what I'm saying? Like, that game is not supposed to be
dark.
Fun. It's dark as shit. You know?
It's fun in an aspect where you get to enjoy like the gaming mechanics and the visuals and the story. But as far as an immersive experience, it's not really fun because the world in itself and the story is just so depressing.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And the thing is, like, it's funny. The reason I'm bringing this in here is because I had the same conversation for the first game. I got into an argument with somebody about this shit. And I'm like, yo, that game is awesome, but it was not fun. It's like, wait, what do you mean? If you thought it was awesome, then it's fun. I'm like, no. Like, listen, Saving Private Ryan, great fucking movie. Schindler's List, great fucking movie. Those weren't fun.
Oh, You're not gonna be leaving the theater with your fucking hands up and yelling.
Yeah, you know, high fiving your boys and shit. Yeah, exactly. You know, but it comes down to you know, people's I guess definition of what fun is. To me, fun is like I'm having a good time. I'm feeling good. I got a smile on my face. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To me, that's fun.
Yeah, I think they're confusing like fun, like what he's defining as fun and enjoyable. Like those are two different. You can enjoy a dark movie or a dark thing, but it's not a fun movie or a fun game. Super Mario Odyssey is a fun game. Detroit Become Human is not fun, right? It's kind of a dark story, and it's heavy-handed. Heavy Rain, great game. That's not really a fun game, you know. But he's defining it in terms of like you define fun as like this experience that's bright and cheerful. And those words do not describe Last of Us at all.
At all. You know, he said, like, you know, listen, we don't, hold on, Brad, just one quick. He said, we're not making a fun game. We're making an engaging game. And that's correct. Go ahead, Ben.
It's when people disagree with this kind of thing, I just wish that there was some sort of definitive centralized source in that we could look up what a word actually means so that we all knew that we were talking about the same thing. You know, just some place that would, you know, dictate us a sort of definition and give us a categorical black or white as to what, oh wait, that does fucking exist. Hold on. It's called a dictionary. And the definition is enjoyment, amusement, or lighthearted pleasure. That does not describe the thing that we're talking about. It is not fun. I don't care. And I do get really sick of this. I don't care what you think a word means. If you think a word means something and you are wrong, then you are wrong. And that doesn't mean you can continue to use the word in the wrong sense. You can make an addendum and say, like, it's enjoyable. But if you really want to split hairs about this kind of thing, I mean, if you really want to split hairs, at least be correct.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself, you know. But again, people, you know, my thing is like, why is this so difficult for people to understand?
I was conflating fun and enjoyment and enjoyable. And like, enjoyable can be any number of things. Like, but like, fun is supposed, like, it's a very specific word that is a very specific slice of the pie. But enjoyment, that's a very broad term. So it can be, you know, fun, it can be cathartic, it can be intense, it can be pleasurable, it can be any number of these things. But again, you cannot conflagrate enjoyable and fun.
Yeah.
In casual conversation, yes, you can. When you're talking to your buddies on the street, yes, you can. But that whole thing changes when you start being like, well, as soon as you say, well, technically, then we're no longer giving people the benefit of the doubt. We're working off of actual terms and technicalities. So it's fine if you like, if some people are like, yeah, man, I think the game was really fun. I really enjoyed myself. Like, don't come down like a 10-ton hammer on that guy. But if somebody wants to actually say, like, well, technically, the game was enjoyable. Okay. In the case of Last of Us, yeah, the game isn't fun. It's enjoyable. I enjoyed myself playing it. Yeah. But we all use verbal shorthands. Do you get what I'm saying, though? Like, we're either all giving each other the benefit of the doubt, or you open the new door to a technical argument. As soon as you open the door to a technical argument, you start playing by different rules.
Right. And it's not, you can't say video games are fun in general, right? Because then the word loses its meaning, right? Because every game is different, right? So if you have a category game, it's like, that's like saying Puzzle Fighter and Street Fighter are the same thing.
Yeah,
they're made by the
right.
same company. They're not totally not the same thing.
You
may
have the same characters, though.
You see, you know, so it's a broad brush, and what Brett's describing is accurate when you start to get the technicalities and stuff. But either way, like that, it's not that Druckmann's right in this case. It's not a fun game in the terms that he's in the literal term, in the literal definition of the word.
My favorite part of all this was dudes actually going, I'm not going to buy this game now because the director says it's not fun. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? There's some dumbasses on fucking internet, man. I swear.
Yeah, it's like if you're so like obsessed with that opinion, then you obviously didn't think highly of the first game.
You know?
I'm trying to think like Alien or Aliens is one of my favorite movies. Has been ever since I was a little kid. I don't know that you ever say the following. you know, sometimes I just really want to, you know, grab a beer, settle down, chill with the cats, and watch the Alien trilogy. That just sounds like a fun afternoon, doesn't it? That just sounds fun. Like, no, it doesn't sound fun. It sounds awesome, but I wouldn't say it's fun.
Yeah, I mean those you can gather around and have, you know, like a get together and watch the movies, but you're not doing it. You're not like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's not like a football game, you know.
And this is where it gets confusing. Like when Chris says like video games aren't fun. Like I agree with that and I disagree with that. Like in the sense that I have fun playing video games in the sense that no matter even if it's a heavy game, I'm generally still playing it in a lighthearted fashion. I'm not looking for the deepest answers to life in this. Like, so I am having fun playing it, but that's different than saying it is a fun activity. I know we're really nitpicking there, but like I can have fun playing The Last of Us 2. I wouldn't describe it as a fun game though. The game itself is heavy. It's filled with tragedy and everything like that. Me, I'm just fucking sitting in my living room pressing buttons. That part's lighthearted. So in the transition between the game itself and me, like, yes, I'm having fun playing it, but it's not fun. It's about death and tragedy and, like, going mildly insane and trauma. It's not a fun game. Same with Hellblade. Hellblade was not a fun game. And that meant, I'm going to get a little bit further. I don't even necessarily say that I had fun playing it. I was engaged, but holy fuck, that was something else.
Yeah, that's not a fun game at all, man. But it's engaging. It's enthralling, you know.
Would you guys describe Stranger Things as a fun series? Like when giving your synopsis to a friend, they're like, "Oh, I've never seen Stranger Things," but you go, "Oh, it's a fun show."
Yeah, no.
I just don't think that describes it. Like, you wouldn't tell Breaking Bad is a fun show.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand how people don't understand this. I'm confused, because man.
They don't know. They're not using fun, the correct definition of fun. They just think, if I enjoy it, it's fun, right? No, you enjoyed it, right? It's enjoyable. Those two different things. But they don't look at it the same thing. They conflate the two. This is not like flammable and inflammable where they actually mean the same thing. This is not. The English is weird, but those two words mean different.
To those people, I want to look in the eye and be like, how would you describe a job that you enjoy?
That's a good one. Yeah. How would you describe that?
I don't know. That's a good way to make a living.
Exactly. Actually, Brett, was that an actual question or rhetorical?
That was kind of a rhetorical question because it's fun, like, no, it's not fun. It's work. It's your job.
That's true. That goes back to what I was saying earlier on the week on Twitter. I'm like, listen, man, I don't really play games for fun anymore because that's work. I do something else when I have fun, you know. But yeah, no, you're right about that. But I don't understand why people don't understand. But I think they're just conflating the words, you know. But it's just to say, oh, I'm not going to buy this game because the director says it's not fun. That is stupid. You're buying The Last of Us. You're not buying Mega Man. So two different experiences, you know? Crazy. All right, let's move on. Just some random stuff right here. So one of the things I saw this week. Oh, by the way, just a quick caveat. Because of, you know, society nowadays, the gaming industry nowadays, there was a certain big topic that happened this week that would have naturally been a featured topic this week. But since we don't want to get in trouble here, we're going to skip it. I think you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, you know. So anyway, with that out of the way, the next topic here is I saw this popping up a lot. Code Vein is delayed to 2019 and dudes they're very upset. My question, and this is specifically for the guys in the chat, is why are you excited for this game? I don't even know what the fuck Code Vein is. Can someone explain this to me?
Code Vein is like anime Dark Souls with vampires. That's the best way I can describe it. Like, it looks kind of like, you know that God Eater? Know that game?
Yeah.
It's from an anime, right?
Yeah. So it looks like God Eater. It looks like the game God Eater, right? But it has like a lot of Dark Souls things, like the combat and stuff. But very anime looking game. And I think the main character and the other side characters are vampires. Like, you're playing, you're vampires, and I don't know what your role is in the world or what you're trying to do. I don't know the details. So I don't know why anybody's going berserk, though. We didn't hear jack shit about this game at E3. That was one of my complaints. I'm like, how come nobody talked about this game? Okay, it's delayed. Fine. That's why I didn't say anything. All right. I wasn't like, fucking like, wait, if they told me Spider-Man was delayed, maybe I'd flip a table, but you know?
The game looks fun, but like, why are people that hyped about it? Like, is there a pedigree behind this game?
Can you please explain it? Yeah, we missed something in the translation. And I think this was the same game people are telling me, Tony, you need to check this. It was that PlayStation Experience or something. Like, Tony, you need to play this. I'm like, okay. I don't know. Explain this to me, please.
It's a Bandai Namco game that's gotten the also common title of being a Dark Souls-esque game. So anytime you put that label Dark Souls-esque, everyone just gets hyped about that.
Aren't we tired of that shit already, though?
Hey, no. Right. No.
Brett, how many of these Dark Souls games have you played, man, and bought?
Dude, I just enjoyed God of War, which is a Dark Souls ripoff.
No, it's not. Come on.
Yeah, son. God of War was.
I'm talking about a game that's specifically meant to be like God, like Dark Souls. Like, what's that one that came out like 2 years ago? Lords of the Fallen or something? Did you play that?
Yeah,
Lords of the
Fallen.
It's not a bad thing to strive for. The cool thing about it is Dark Souls, in my opinion, its real call and its real appeal is an incredibly tight, reactive, and rewarding combat system. It's not necessarily how it works, but how well it works. The hitboxes are very tight. The animations are very fluid. If your animation causes you to lean back, then if you lean back as a sword swipes in front of you, you don't get hit by the sword. So if people want to emulate or say or try and, you know, copy really good tight combat, I'm fine with that. Every game can steal that. As
Brett,
far as
did you get Neo?
I'm never gonna get sick of it. What's that?
Did you get Neo?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you are not exactly supporting these type of games either, though.
No, because Neo, I didn't feel like the combat was as tight in Neo. They tried to do some other fancy stuff with it and make it distinct and different, and I didn't feel like it grabbed me.
Spoiler alert, Brett. No game has a combat system that's as tight as Dark Souls.
No, I'm aware of this. My big fear is they're misunderstanding what Souls-like combat actually means, and that's kind of been the problem so far. So like that's why I kind of say, if you really want to copy Dark Souls and have, you know, something that's really really well made, working on basic spacing, you know, it's you don't have 90 million different moves like God of War, but the game is unforgiving. It punishes you when you do badly, but it's tough but fair, like a dad from the 50s. if you have that and want to keep copying that, that's fine. But I don't really understand. Can somebody please explain to me these games that say they're Dark Souls-like combat that really aren't? Like, what is the correlation? What do they think?
I don't know, man, because it seems like every other game released now is a Dark Souls-like game. You know, it's like, oh, this is like Dark Souls. This is like Dark Souls. Code Vein is another one of these games. This is like Dark Souls.
God of War was a good example, and they said specifically in there their combat was inspired by Dark Souls. So I can see it bleeding into other games, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't though, and I don't know if we can just look at a game that either tries to implement the bad things or is a pale imitation. Like, that might just be a bad game. I don't know.
Like, was anybody hyped for The Surge? That was Dark Souls with like robots.
One. Yeah, that was like, another one, you know. And they're making a sequel, apparently, you know.
Oh, sure,
but again, that's another one. It's like, oh, it's a Dark Souls like game. And what about all those indie games that came out? You know, like Salt and Sanctuary. That's another one. There was a whole bunch of indie games that are like Dark Souls like, you know. So
it's like Salt and Sanctuary didn't understand what makes a game like Dark Souls.
I think most of these games.
No, but it was
don't.
Good. I did play that. I have to say, I did play it. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, it was good, but it was a Metroidvania game. It wasn't a Souls game.
Well, I think they just threw in Dark Souls feel with the weapons and stuff. There was a variety of weapons, and there was all this lore, and the mystery. I don't know where I am. Where's the main character? Like, they were doing that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, coming back to Code Vein, again, no one's answered the question either in the chat or here. What is the big deal about this game? Is it just because it's anime Dark Souls? Is that the appeal?
Anime Souls.
I think so. If that's an answer, that's an answer. But I don't get it because people were fucking pissed this week when it got delayed. You know,
haven't we heard most of the hype from people who have actually played it though, or demoed it, or something like that? Like maybe it plays really well.
But the only people who have played that probably like people from E3.
that were there. There's a lot of people that didn't play it that were really upset.
Even from E3, I didn't hear anything. You know, by the way, shout out to the Throwdown Crickets, man, making their comeback. You know,
they say what's up.
But yeah, I don't fucking get it. But yeah, the game's coming out next year. Hopefully, it won't be on February 22nd, like every other game in the world.
Yeah,
that shit is crazy. But either way, I don't give a fuck. I'm just being real. I don't care.
Yeah, you know? I don't think any of us were.
No, I mean, I play it, but I'm saying it's delayed. Like, it could be for good reasons. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, you can delay this for 3 more years. I don't think any of us are going to lose sleep over that.
You know,
I think all of us think of game delays as like if somebody's coming out, they're like, "Oh, the cookies are going to be 5 more minutes till they're done." But like, that's fine. Don't bring me half baked balls of dough. I'll wait. Know?
Well, it's not even cookies. It's like it's like a really minor side dish. Like Chris mentioned, if Spider-Man got delayed, a lot we're all lose our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be a little upset over that. You know, it had a hard date and everything. Code Vein didn't have shit. Like
Code Vein is a fucking mint. You know,
like it's the mint after.
Well, why is everybody not flipping their shit over Darksiders?
Flipping their souls. I love that trademark. It's ours.
Yeah. By the way, that's a good question. No one's
Darksiders giving, 3 got pushed back to 2019.
And I'd say that's a game to be hyped about, not fucking Code Vein. You know, how come people aren't saying shit about that? Think about this. Think about like this. Darksiders 3 is a franchise, right? No one's talking about it yet. This game is the first new IP and everyone's hyped. I don't get it at all. You know, but whatever. You know, we'll see. We're probably going to get yelled at when the game because like, yo, the game's hot. You motherfuckers. Y'all hating. All right, whatever.
Oh, whatever, man. I heard that so much. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, man. This next story, I threw this one in here specifically for Adam. So Adam, WWE 2019 is not coming to Switch, man.
Thank God. They haven't fixed the one that they got on Switch. Fucking suckers, man. You know, it's upsetting because they know it's a mess and yet they didn't make it free. They didn't even give any of the season pass stuff free for people, but I guess because you can't play it anyway, so why bother, right? Oh man, that is just a hot mess. If there's any game that should have got a full refund, well, people should have got a full refund, it should have been that Switch version. It's just unplayable, literally unplayable. To be like, oh, you're exaggerating. Just doing a one-on-one match, the shit will freeze up, lock up, depending on the wrestler, and then that's it. It's just done. You got to reboot the whole damn console.
Wow.
It's horrible. They just haven't fixed it. They have not fixed it, and they just, like, moved on. And then the studio that was behind it, that made that port, they stopped working on it. You know, they're not even answering questions about it on Twitter or anything, and it's just like, ugh. It's a mess. It's a mess. So because of that, I'm boycotting, and I'm recommending other people to don't buy this shit. Don't buy it for the current console. Don't do any of that stuff. It's just a roster update. It's more crap. It's not worth it. You know, vote with your wallet. You stop buying it, it'll force them to actually fix up their product and support their product. How do you just like dump it like that? If this happened on Xbox or PlayStation 4, people would have been up in arms. You know, they would have been like, oh, forget it. Look what happened with Star Wars and the whole microtransactions. Imagine if that game just didn't work and it just never worked.
Damn.
But the microtransactions work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go.
That's so funny, man.
Just it's a piece of shit, and a piece of shit company too.
Damn.
I'm done. Yeah, it's true.
Tell me how you really feel, bro.
Damn right. Okay. Yeah. My hitter rate is strong with those motherfuckers.
Damn.
They rip people off. That's a straight thing about it. It's a full price too. I can't say they didn't even put it on sale. Okay. If you go on and out right now, it's still $60 for an unplayable game. Like everyone's at fault. I remember for anybody here that had the PC, the Batman one, Hell's Gate. Or even the Arkham Knight. Remember that one?
Arkham Knight was fucked up at launch.
It wasn't. It was Arkham Knight that was fucked up, right? Yeah. Remember that?
And on Steam, PC, right?
Yeah,
on PC.
And Steam said, you know what? We're pulling it. They pulled it because they realized it. Fucking Nintendo still has that wrestling game up there. This shit is broken. Straight up broken. There's petitions all over the place to have it pulled, to get refunds, nothing. And it's still there. So everyone's to blame. The publisher's to blame. 2K's to blame. Fucking Nintendo's to blame. Shit.
That shit is crazy, man. But anyway, I just threw that in there for you because I wanted to hear you go
don't
off.
Don't worry. You threw it at me and I threw it out the fucking window. That shit.
that shit was already on fire too, you know?
Trash.
Yeah. All right, man. And this last story. Now, I kind of wrestled with throwing this in here because it's not really gaming news, but considering that this company is only alive because of gaming, got to throw it in there. So Sony stocks are at a 10-year high, man. Thanks to Kaz Harai, he turned that company around, the ship around, you know? Oh, it's crazy. But again, you know, the big seller there is PlayStations. You know, that's big thing over there.
I'm telling you, the freaking stock might explode if they just break up and get rid of Sony Pictures, which is what is losing them money.
Yeah.
Like, PlayStation is literally their biggest moneymaker, and then Sony Pictures is like a money pit for them.
Like, yes, I said, get rid of that shit. Get rid of
sell
that.
Yeah, fuck it. Sell, auction off that. Disney will buy it. They seem to be buying everything. Fucking, they'll buy it. They want another franchise.
And it's only sold that building that was on 50th Street or 59th Street. Remember that?
It's the 59th Street. Yeah, the Wonder Plaza. Sony Wonder Plaza, yeah.
I did my internship there at Columbia Records. They were in that building.
Oh, shit.
They had a nice little store under there. They had, like, Sony World.
Adam, what haven't you done?
That's some true shit.
Yeah. Like, shit, I interviewed a Ghostface Killer in that building, and I got to meet Nas.
Oh, shit. This guy's like young Indiana Jones.
I was telling Dana some stories when the other day after WrestleCast, and she was like, "Yo, why don't you just write a book? Just like the story, because it's all over the place." I'm like, I should.
Yeah, man, you do one book for each borough, you know?
Each borough, people in my life. Shit. Like my buddy who started doing porn and did all these movies. Yeah, my best man at my wedding. You know, he was doing web design and then he needed somebody to fill in and he's a good looking dude. I'm like, yo, get in front of the camera. I'm like, all right. And I didn't believe him and the fucking guy sent me a clip. He said, click this. I'm like, oh shit.
He sent you a clip.
He sent me a link. It was a whole little scene. The scene was that he was going in for a job interview and the woman's there and she's interviewing him. She's like, what other skills do you have? And he's like, I'll show you some skills. And he drops his pants. He bends. I was like, oh,
like, yo, that's what his dick looks like, son.
That's it.
Oh, crazy. Actually, Hussein says that the music has been making more than PlayStation. Really? I don't know about that.
No, I don't think so. Like, I think for the last at least 5 years, PlayStation has been the top earning part of their company.
Music has played a big role, but PlayStation's still like the main breadwinner there.
And look at the summary, the financial report, and I showed it on the throwdown when I did the three. That the next week when their stuff came out, I showed the sections. Remember, I always make fun of Sony Pictures. Sony Music is in there, but PlayStation by far, and now with PlayStation Plus being subscription, the revenue generation from the monthly subscriptions and the system sales and the first party sales, like PlayStation makes a bunch of money. Music is stable, like it's been stable for the last few years, and the only sinking part of Sony is Sony Pictures. Like, literally, like the TV division is bad, but not nearly as bad.
Yeah, they need to just cut that picture division off. Like, you know, just sell that shit, be done with it. You know, that's good to hear about the music though, because they got a bunch of artists under them. You know,
the problem with selling the movie division is they have what they're going to consider very valuable assets that are appreciating. They have Spider-Man under Sony Picture. And how much do you think they value the Spider-Man IP with all the Avenger movies coming out?
Yeah, but the Spider-Man IP would be worth more to them. Just either license it out to Marvel and everyone else and do a profit sharing with Disney when you license it off, or do like whole ownership of the TV and movie rights, right? That would be the smart thing to do. Fracture Sony Pictures up back into Columbia, TriStar, and whatever, and then sell off the one that doesn't have the major things under it, which is probably TriStar, right? Columbia has Ghostbusters and all that stuff. So then sell the other parts off because you don't need them. Like, and just call it Sony Columbia, keep Spider-Man under it, license it, man. Instead, they keep the whole fucking thing going. It's stupid.
I feel like they're moving towards just licensing Spider-Man out to Disney. I feel like that's where the end goal is, personally. Because they've realized they can't make a Spider-Man movie that doesn't take place in the Avengers Disney world and have to be successful. Right. So they're going to need to partner or just, collect a check.
Oh shit, I see Techno Fabulous. You know what that means, man. Call of Duty.
Yo, I'm passing on this Call of Duty Techno. I'm not getting this shit.
Not
doing it. Maybe if they do like a super sale and it's like $6 or something. But
oh shit.
Besides that, Battle Royale 4 over there?
Yeah, hey, no, check I'm it out. Supposedly, not supposedly, Beyonce is under Sony. You know, she's making money.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she was in Black Ops. I'm like, whoa. What?
Hey, you never know. Hey, you never know. They've had some crazy ass guests before. But yeah, apparently Beyonce, she's probably their biggest star at Sony, you know, making them that money. It's crazy, man. All right. Again, just fuck it show. You guys want to just talk about any gaming thing? I know, Carlos, didn't you want to say something about Octopath and Captain Toad?
Yeah, I was. For those of you who have a Switch, is anybody getting those games? I know Tony's getting both of those.
Yeah, man, they come in tomorrow, son. I did want to talk about Octopath real quick because some interesting stuff about it. So Jason Schreier, he said that he beat like one playthrough. There's like 8 characters all together, right? And apparently, none of the stories connect. That made me very worried. I'm like, because that to me, that was all like. You know, that's the reason to get the games. Like, you play these 8 separate stories, but they all come together, right? But apparently, they don't touch. I can't confirm that because I don't think he beat the game yet completely. But, you know, that got some people upset. I know it got me a little worried. I'm like, fuck it. I was already still in it, so I couldn't just drop out. But that's a little bit worrying. And then today, this is some bullshit. This is just stupid. Some guy on Twitter was saying that the game should not cost $60 because of the graphics, which I found fucking stupid. You know, I'm like, yo, yeah, were you mad when you paid $80 for a Super Nintendo game back in the day then, man? Same graphics, you know?
Yeah. Come on, and man. Then I saw that tweet and I'm like, I'd rather pay $60 for Cuphead than I'd rather pay $60 for fucking Destiny.
Like, you know?
Man. It's like
That's cute that you think Destiny only costs $60.
Oh, no. I just say I'd rather pay $60 for Cuphead. I mean, if you gave me the option of $60 for Cuphead or $10 for Destiny, I'll still pay $60 for Cuphead.
Yeah, that graphic argument doesn't make any sense because you don't got to pay a dime for Warframe if you don't want to, and that looks fantastic.
Yeah. No, I meant the other way. Like, the full Destiny experience is going to cost you $130, $150.
Yeah, no, that's true.
By the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, no, that's true. But the point,
if you look at it that way, it's still like, even if Cuphead were $60, the price discrepancy would be about the same. I'm just ragging on Destiny.
Yeah. But yeah, I find that stupid. But yeah, I'm getting the game. So, you know, me and Carlos will definitely let you know what's up.
I'll have it on 3DS.
Oh, that's where this whole thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Had a man, I swear.
Yep. I want to know what Brian thinks about Warframe coming to Switch.
I think it's fantastic.
Didn't he talk about it
last week? He thinks it's good. He says he may get a Switch.
Oh, wow.
Actually, did he say that? I don't know. I mean,
no,
I
don't
know.
No, he did it because
he said it's good, but because he can't do cross-save, then he's not fucking with it. That's what he said.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't? Oh.
Yeah.
Nah, because he said essentially his 3,000 or 4,000 hours of gameplay towards all his credits or whatever in-game currency he has is just worthless.
Yeah.
Does it cross save with anything else?
No, it doesn't.
He's just playing on PC and 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. By the way, you know, not to go off too off topic, that's what kind of set me off on that whole thing. I'm like, listen, I'm not trying to play 8 fucking characters with like 40 hours between them. I ain't got that fucking kind of time. You know, it's like in general, I'm like, you know, so that kind of set me off going like, I don't know, man. Like gaming, I still love gaming, man, but it's like the flesh is weak and the spirit is willing type of deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, I'm still getting it. You know, we'll see what happens. I'll probably just pick it apart slowly but surely. Captain Toad is another one of those. Oh, go ahead, Carlos, about Octopath.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's getting good reviews, so that's good.
Yeah, because I love the gameplay. The gameplay was fucking awesome, and the graphics are insane. You know,
yeah, it's hard to like it's hard to mess up a turn-based RPG game.
Yeah,
like,
that is true.
as far as the gameplay, but yeah,
what I played, I really liked. I just hope they fix that the voice acting.
Or give you them Japanese, man. You know,
that'll work.
See, would like when I watch anime, you know, I prefer the dubs because I want to watch it. With a video game, no, I don't. I'll read it in Japanese. I'm reading most of the time anyway. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't really matter.
Zelda prepped us for that shit.
Yeah, Octopath is 84. I see Nina Cooney, but whatever. Who gives a fuck about that? But yeah, and then Captain Toad, I actually did want to, because I played a little bit of it at a Nintendo event I went to a bunch of years ago. I played the Wii U one. I thought the game was cool. So I'm glad to get it. It's another one of those ports, but since Switch ain't really got nothing new except Octopath, I guess, you know, hey, why not, you know?
Yeah, Pocket Rumble.
You know, I bet you Toad is going to sell more than it did on Wii U.
It'll probably do more numbers. I just find it weird that Nintendo is had like a long ass dry spell of sort of big-ish games to come out, but they released two at the same day.
Yeah, isn't that something?
During the summer, nonetheless. But I'm happy with it. It's during the summer. There's nothing else coming out, so might as well just release some games to play during this time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, their new president also made a statement that he wants something like 20 to 30 indie titles a month launching on the Switch.
Some ridiculous number.
I think it was like a month, and I was like, then you're gonna end up like Steam, man. You're gonna get some trash on there.
It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw a post about that. They're supposedly, look it up, I could be wrong, but supposedly they're dropping 20 to 30 games next week alone. Like,
oh,
damn.
It was a week. I'm sorry. He wants to have the rate at 20, 30 a week, which is like,
that's, he wants it like Steam.
Yeah, he want, but then you end up with the problems of Steam.
Oh, yeah. Or like iOS, where games just get lost in a shuffle. That's it.
You're going to have a glut of shovelware. You're going to have a glut of shovelware. That's the problem.
Yeah, but maybe that's what they want. I don't know. What the fuck are they putting on there? 20, 30 a week? God damn.
Yeah, and the eShop is not geared. It's not like Steam where you can look at reviews and there's ratings and all this stuff. Like, do you just like look at a game and then you got to go on Metacritic or something or look at or hopefully you write about it or something. You got to look for it. Otherwise, you're like, that looks nice. It's like back in the day of the Sears catalog. This game has good box art.
I know. Yeah. I'm just imagining, like, I don't know why my mind went to this. Like, when you were a kid, you had a bucket of Legos, you just drop all them shits on the floor. That's what it seems like they're doing here. It's like, here you go, guys, you figure it out. I don't know.
It's too much, man. Too much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they went from, and they've embraced indies, but, I mean, like, you got to embrace it, but you got to have, fix your store, man, so people can have some ratings or some reviews, put some videos on there. You got to have demos or some shit.
Yeah, you got to have something, right, Adam? Got to have something, man.
Yeah, right. Gotta have something, you know. But that's the thing. If you want those demos and stuff, you just gotta go on Steam because most of these are just Steam ports anyway. So you could just go on there, play it there, or find a review or something about them on that one, and then
thing. You open up the eShop, you gotta have Steam open at the same time. Like, is this any good?
Right. Exactly. You know.
And then see that the fucking Nintendo tax. Why is it $10 more? What's going on?
Oh, I did that like Owlboy. I was gonna get Owlboy on the Switch. Yo, it's like $25. I got it for $10 on PlayStation.
The fuck?
Yo,
you gotta pay that premium.
Yeah, I got my PS Plus discount. I'm like, I'll take that. I'll play it for $10.
You know, Adam, any random gaming thing you want to bring up?
One more trophy left in the Division,
my man.
Shit, man. I got a big shout out to All Day Digital because he's actually been putting up with me. He was like, are you ready to go to Dog Zone? All right, let's do it. I mean, it was a pain in the ass, but we did it. So now we are up to the last one. And the last one is just to kill 10 named bosses and that in the Dark Zone. So that's it. I must have killed like 6 or 7 because it's all about the last shot, last kill. So it doesn't count as a team. It's whoever gets the last shot. The kill shot. So I just got to get a few more of those and that's it. It's done. I got that plat. Only took me 2 years.
Shit.
You know, granted, I did take breaks though. You know, I there's a lot of other games, God of War and other games.
Wildlands.
I never gave up. Yeah, Wildlands. I wanted to get Wildlands plat before this one. But that's the thing. I never gave up. I kept going back. And there you go. Like they say in the hate breed, perseverance.
You know. Brett, any random gaming thing you want to bring up?
Absolver's out for free. Play it, bitches.
I mean, Chris, what about you?
Oh, I'm waiting for a worthy adversary to rise up and challenge me. Could it be you?
Ah, yes. Challenge Brett, and we'll... Man, we should make a contest out of this shit. If you could beat Brett, we'll give you, like, $20 or something, PlayStation Store credit. It's summer. We got to come up with something, you know? I don't know. We'll talk amongst ourselves and figure something out. But, Brett, are you down for that?
I'm down to take on any challengers, yeah.
Oh, shit. Let's fucking go.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris, any random gaming thoughts you want to share?
I know I'm excited for Dead Cells when that comes out, like the first week of August. Now that we were talking about Metroidvania, Dark Souls-like games, I've been wanting to play that game on PlayStation for a while. You know, it's been like early access for a long time on PC. It's finally coming out, so I'm excited for that. Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Like, the one backlog thing I'm doing is trying to beat the two Yeast games on Vita.
Oh, shit.
So I'm almost done with Yeast 1. I know Rico saw me playing that. I just got to beat the final boss, and then I'm on to the second one. I'm trying to do that. And then who is it? Carlos, who told me about Yeast Origins? It was on sale the other day. It's like they're psychic, so I bought it. So I'm like, that's next. That's also on Vita.
Nice.
So I'm going to play that. And then I have a few of them on PSP. So I dusted off the PSP, put a new battery in it.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my random gaming thing on my backlog going to the PlayStation Portable.
Nice. You know what? I'll say this now since there's actually a lot of people in room. I'll give you just a quick synopsis of Kingdom Hearts 3. I found out I'm not under embargo, so I can just talk about the fucking game. So I played a demo today. It was two levels. One was Mount Olympus. Another level was Toy Story. And this is coming from a guy I've never played these games. The most Kingdom Hearts action I got was I played a demo of the HD version at E3 2013, right? And I thought that thing was clunky as a motherfucker. You know, this shit that I played was smooth. Smooth like a baby's ass, you know?
Smooth operator.
And again, coming from a guy who's never played these games, I instantly got it. It was very intuitive. I knew under all the controls and shit. That was fine. The boss battles were crazy. And I liked how Sora, I think that's the main name of the main dude, like the more hits he does, like he gets more and more crazy powers. Like he's doing like these kind of junction moves with fucking Pluto and shit or wherever the fuck Goofy, whoever the fuck he's with. And then like you could actually do like they're called carousel attacks, like you're basically attacking an enemy with a Disney ride. It's fucking crazy, you know. Shit. And I also like how depending on the world you visit, you take on that art style. You know, like for Toy Story, they look like fucking toys. You know, and then for Mount Olympus, they look like the Hercules movie. And if you guys saw the trailer, when they go to Jack Sparrow's world, they look more realistic and stuff. It's crazy, man. So I think you know, at least from what the rep was telling me, he's like, yeah, this thing, you know, has everything all the fans have wanted. He did say that, you know, he says that if you never play these games, you could still have fun, but you will get more out of it if you had played the previous ones. And he just like told me, he's like, yeah, man, you know, the other games are available, so check them out if you can. But he said like the core story, you know, good versus evil, whatever, that the people will be able to understand that. So there you go. So yeah, hey, this game's been in development for 50 fucking years, apparently, so it's good that people are getting it, you know? I can't say I'm hyped, but I'm definitely more intrigued to play it. I guess I should say, if I get the review copy, which I probably will, I will not be groaning that I have to review the game, you know what I'm saying? Crazy, man. Yo, I'm playing this one game right now, I can't say nothing? That's all I'm gonna say about that. But your boy's got to make money. You know, Brett, what we were talking about before this, right? Got to make that money, honey. It's crazy right now.
Got to hustle.
Yeah. All right, man. So that's going to do it for us. So let me pull up show notes here. Here we go. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. Now joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Adam Vale.
Peace.
Yeah, I'll see you guys tomorrow, WrestleCast.
Lucha, motherfuckers. Yeah, let's go. Lucha.
You guys get it on the East Coast. You know that, right? You get that channel.
You bullshit.
The LRA Network. What channel, man? Dana gets it.
Okay, I don't know what channel it's like. 952?
Whatever LRA. I don't know.
This is crazy. All right, man. We'll see y'all on Sunday, man. Later.
Peace.
Later, people.